Previously on Dragons Not Included.
There is a sense of nervousness in the air that's almost tangible.
I say we all have one drink before tomorrow for morale.
Sure.
Fine.
Excellent.
Istra will toast around the table. I really like you guys, and it will be an honor to fight alongside you, and I will do everything I can to protect you.
Well said, Istra. It's going to be dangerous tomorrow, but I've seen us all fight. I have utmost faith in all of your capabilities, and with Iomedae behind us, I think there's no way we can fail. And besides, it's not like we have another choice.
Brittany's also finished his drink, but his face is planted into the table. Cheers!
Do we decide on the day we're going to strike? Say noon. That way, when the sun's at its zenith, my men will attack and you'll know when to head in. Noon tomorrow it is, then.
May Iomedae carry you safe.
May the Inheritor watch over us all.
May you pay your bills.
May you get out of this alive.
All right, let's go.
Greetings and welcome to the Dragons Not Included podcast. An actual play tabletop role-playing game podcast where we're playing Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous. My name's Stephen, and I should be the GM for this adventure.
I'm Joe, and I'm playing Scrutiny, the wizard illusionist rogue.
Hi, I'm Dave, and I'm playing Elden Aegis, the human paladin of Iomedae.
Hi, I'm Rowan, and I will be playing Istra, the human beast rider cavalier of Gorum.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm playing Hans, the relic hunter inquisitor of Drangvit.
You said your goodbyes to your allies, your family, as you head out from the Defender's Heart, streets of Canabres. A few hours before noon, you give the chance for the Eagle Watch and the Knights of Iomedae, the remaining Mendevian Crusaders, to gather at their charge points. Solemn trek through the ruined city. It's eerily quiet. The silence before the storm. You skirt the outer walls of Old Canabres. You lie in wait. The ruins of the Cathedral of St. Clubwell, before you in the distance. You have some time now before, let's say, an hour or so.
Okay, so we're trying to sneak in, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Does that mean me, as the chief sneaker, has authority in this situation?
Well, you have the most expertise.
The half-orc paladin of Iomedae, dressed in her resplendent golden armor, sword and sheath, and a shield bearing the emblem of a swan, tied to her back. Erebeth. You have the experience of these sort of covert maneuvers, so I'll be relying on your expertise.
We are the Neathholm hunters. We prefer to fight from a distance, but we're not adverse to coming up close, but trust your counsel to see what we should do.
Okay. In which case, we'll want to draw them out. I have an idea of how to do that.
Hopefully the attacks we're preparing shall draw them out.
Okay.
We want to strike them when they're at their weak, when they've scattered their forces in trying to defend against our attacks on many fronts.
Erebeth's going to put a hand on your shoulder, Scrutiny. I know you are young, and you did not seek out warfare, but take deep breaths and stay calm. You have a sharp head on your shoulders. Use it to guide you.
All right. Well, onwards to victory or death, I suppose.
Let's hope not for death.
I mean, I don't think we get a choice in the matter.
Oh, I think we do. As Istra starts, like, tapping her axe in her hand.
I can't tell if you're trying to motivate this or you're threatening to kill her sister.
Oh no, no, I'm threatening to save you guys.
Oh, right. Oh, wonderful, thank you.
I feel thoroughly threatened.
Oh, thank you.
It draws closer to noon, every second ticking away. The nervousness gets higher and higher until time has elapsed and you hear the sounds of horns in the distance and the charges of dozens of men attacking the several key locations across Old Canabras. The Crusaders have made their attack.
Right, everyone ready?
Yep.
Give them a moment to register what's happening. We should draw their forces out. We make our strike as we see them move.
What are we doing? Like, sneaking through the side?
We have to wait for them to be drawn out. Do we see any signs of activity on the inside?
Make a perception check.
I will make a perception check.
Perception. That is a 9 plus 2.
Oh, 27!
27. Scrutiny us. What do your tiefling eyes see?
They see what your eyes see, dude.
You look out and, you know, it's the midday sun beaming down. In the shadows, you notice, you see from the heart of Old Canabras, teams of cultists running out, wielding scythes and wearing chitinous armor. But it's not just the cultists you have to worry about. Several tiefling thugs are joined with them, as well as hulking demons with the heads of goats, wielding vicious-looking blades.
That's more than we accounted for, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Is it okay if I do a little knowledge planes to figure out those goat demons?
Of course you can.
Yeah!
I will grab the corresponding bestiary from my shelf.
Ooh. I've got a 17.
17.
Not the best, but not the worst.
Not what we were expecting, but within what we accounted
for. Raid. 17 is not high enough. You don't really get a good look at them scrutiny. You just see that they are vaguely humanoid with hunched backs and goat-like features.
Okay, well, we'll worry about those when we worry about those.
But after they run out to engage the Crusaders of Canabras, it seems like the reinforcements the cultists have received cease moving after a few minutes.
Okay. Are they retreating? Are they...
No, they're rushing out to engage the Crusaders.
Okay, but they've stopped moving.
There's no movement doesn't mean they've stopped. It just means that we can't see
them
anymore.
You don't have a direct view of the Grey Garrison from where you are because of... Right. The opposite side of the Cathedral of St. Clodwell.
Right, okay. From where we are, do we see an opening?
I mean, there's no cultists or demons running past the area you're heading, so that's a good enough opening as you're going to get.
Right, here we go.
Let's move.
Yep. Actually, first, I'm going to cast Mage Armor because I can... That's got a long, long time on it.
Mm.
And I may as well do that now.
Yeah, that's like, what, an hour per level?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll last a long... Yeah, you'll at least survive 3 hours. As the tiefling wizard, human paladin, the human cavalier, a mammoth companion, dwarven inquisitor, the half-orc paladin, and 4 mongrel men rush into Old Canabras, heading directly for the Cathedral of St. Clodwell that blocks your path to the Grey Garrison. As you run past, you see the large fissures breaking through the ground, where only a few days ago you were enjoying the Armas Festival. But this is the hole that you fell down at the very start in episode 1.
See how far we've come, but it seems that we've only travelled a little.
It's in ruins. Clibwell was attacked by Corum Zaid himself. There's the bodies of several fallen festival goers and crusaders alike. But you notice there is one large absence. Body of Terendilev, the ancient silver dragon who saved you. She's gone.
Oh no. Oh no.
Oh, that can't be anything good.
That's a boss fight if I've ever heard of one. Okay.
Who's ready for a zombie dragon fight?
Yep.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Who's up for a Draco Lich?
Oh my god, look over here. This random box filled with a load of potions and new weapons.
I think you guys are just too paranoid. I don't know what you could be talking about.
This large open field, lots of cover in every direction.
I'm 5 paranoid at this point.
Everyone make me a perception check as you look to the sky. No, I'm joking.
15.
It would be a dragon because we can't include them.
That's true. Yeah.
That's so far.
What if it's an undead dragon? Does it count?
It can half count, so it can only half be included.
Yes.
Right.
As you run past the Cathedral of St. Clubwell, you make it across the courtyard, and on the opposite side, there is a squat, two-story stone building with a third tower emerging out of the second floor. Does someone roll me a knowledge history check?
I certainly can.
No.
That is an 18 on the dice with my +1 in knowledge history. That's a 19.
Okay. So, you know, you've been in Kennebrest your whole life, Eldon. Grey Garrison was once back in the First Crusade. It was a garrison that housed Mendebian Crusaders. As the city expanded and there needed to be more space, it was retired and became more of a museum. It's where artifacts and relics of the Crusade were held, including the sword which you now wield.
Yes, I remember many trips here.
Being a relic itself of the First Crusade, it is a highly fortified building. It actually has no external windows. It has one entrance, which are large stone doors. My apologies. You do see one external window on the second floor. It's where it looks like it's part of a coop where messenger birds would be sent out.
Feel like climbing?
No.
Then we'll be taking the front door.
How would you like to approach the Grey Garrison?
Tell you what, I'll sneak up just to be safe and have a peeksy, yeah?
Do you think that's going to be okay?
What
if there are, like, people there?
I'd rather not see you get...
Yeah, if there are people there, then I will give a signal and he stretches out his hand, extends the ring finger and the middle finger, no, the index finger, and goes, right, I'll do that. Okay?
Okay.
Right.
We'll need to get an eye shot.
And that will be an indicator to charge.
Right.
If not, I'll just come back around and tell you what I see.
Very well, Scrutiny. We'll heed your words. Be careful.
Okay. Very well. Roll a 22 on my stealth.
22 on stealth. Very nice. Okay. Now, just ignore that roll. That's perfectly fine. As you approach the Grey Garrisons. Grey Garrisons? There's two. Oh, no.
They're multiplying.
I'm seeing double. 4 Krusties. as you approach the Grey Garrison, there's a lot of cover, luckily. Broken building remnants of houses and official buildings as you get there. And the plaza is relatively empty, save for 2 figures, which seem to be naked, corpulent men standing at the front door of the Grey Garrison, wielding scythes. Their faces are twisted in a grimace, and the smiles they have on their face seem to stretch wider than a jaw would allow.
Okay. Alright.
You could make me a knowledge and nobility check if you have that scrutiny for these nude corpulent
men. I'm sorry,
men.
What?
nobility?
Knowledge nobility?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I don't have that.
Yeah, you... just a strange, creepily grinning, nude, corpulent men wielding scythes. Luckily, they don't seem to have spotted you.
Hey, right, I'm going to go back. Oh. We have two big lads wielding scythes and completely open to the elements.
So they're undefended.
Yeah.
Not entirely. They're armed.
They're wielding scythes, which...
They're not in any shelter?
No. And they, they are exposed, though.
So we could sneak up on them.
They're at a weakened position.
They can feel the wind upon their skin.
Is it windy? I didn't think it was.
It's not that breezy this evening.
They're naked!
No.
Oh.
Ooh.
There are two big naked men with scythes outside the door.
That's an interesting defensive tactic.
Some sort of guard.
It's working. Mm. I am terrified.
I would not underestimate them.
No.
Demons have lots of tricks up their sleeves.
Them at all.
This is not as simple as it probably is. Looks like.
Worst things of all is that the GM asked me to roll knowledge nobility. Why would I need knowledge nobility?
What's a GM? And a knowledge nobility. I mean, I know what nobility is. Tell you what.
Oh no, the metaverse is bleeding in.
They may be disturbing foes, and there are only two of them and nine of us. And a smile moves up and nudges Erebeth. There are 10 of us.
Thank you.
What were we saying about underestimating them?
If they are left to guard...
Confronting those things!
If they've been left to guard the garrison, there's no way that they are just simply naked men.
This sounds like foul demon trickery, but there's a thing between us and the front door.
Okay, I have an idea. I might try and draw them away with a little trick. That might work.
Perhaps.
I hope.
It's worth a try.
Well, they haven't left yet, right? So why would they stay?
It's an important artifact. It's guarding.
I'm going to make them think that a unit's attacking from the other side. Oh no! Suddenly we're being attacked from the other end. We need to send reinforcements that direction.
Didn't you say there was no door that end?
There's only one door. One door and a window. And none of us have
a
grapple.
Can we get through the window instead? Maybe just bypass these people completely?
It's on the same face.
Right.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of confidence. Can go a long way. I say we just go in and see what happens.
We may simply need to rush. Stealth may not get us very far.
Can we get close enough to them so the rushing is a minimal distance?
I'm not the fastest on my feet, but we can try. Oh. I'm also not especially equipped for ranged combat, so these may serve you better, and I'm going to hand Larm the 10 Evil Outsider Bane arrows.
You should be fine, Tours. I'll divide them out between my men, though, I guess.
Krell will definitely take some, because Ranger.
Lan will divvy them out, so... two each, and I guess the other two Lan will just keep for safekeepings.
Use them wisely. They're most potent against demon.
He nods.
Well, I can tell you me and Smell probably won't sneak. I mean, he's a bit stealthier than me, I think, but
Erebeth looks down at her, like, gleaming, resplendent armor emblazoned with the holy symbols of Iolidae. I myself am not one for stealth.
Elden indicates his literally glowing sword.
Actually, I've just looked and Smaug actually has a plus six, so he might be good.
Better than my minus four.
I got minus six. We could approach. I've heard of a tactic where people approach in smaller numbers, and then people around who they don't know are there can then attack, so they think that there's less of us than there are.
Yes, we did that back in the Darklands.
Yeah, that.
Do you not remember when we attacked that outpost?
What outpost?
We did that down in the Darklands when we were leaving Neathholm. You not remember the thing where I pretended that I had a prisoner and it was you?
Yes, I could.
I don't think I've ever been a prisoner.
It was a very clever play.
Yes,
Suspect that same plan will work here.
No.
The disguises be a lot easier. We just all have to get naked.
No.
Not a fan.
Actually, yeah, you're right. We don't have enough sides.
We might have a few sides.
Okay, time is of the essence. I suppose charge blindly. It is, yes?
Nothing blind about it. Strong fighters at the front. Try and make the
unless
contact.
Unless you want to sneak ahead and lay in wait for us, scrutiny.
I think I'd much rather stay where I won't get scythed.
Very well.
I have a couple of spells I'm willing to test out today as well, so...
Yeah. Our more stealth-oriented compatriots might be able to get into an advantageous position.
Oh yes, of course.
Krell, as a ranger, might want to go into one of the... I'm saying this not as Istra, because...
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Might want to go as in one of the either buildings or behind a building, because...
There are a few abandoned. There's one on either side, like, leading up to the garrison, so you can have them and, like, ready behind walls there.
Yeah.
It might be an idea. And then when our less stealthy compatriots charge in, at the very least, we might be able to pincer them.
There'll be a very obvious tell of Istra screaming. War yelling. Not crying. She wouldn't cry.
I'm gonna get the magic missile wand out in one hand and the dagger in the other and be like, right, okay. Yep, this is the big magic missile wand, not the little magic missile wand. Okay. Are we ready?
As ready as we'll ever be.
Yes. Alright! Onwards!
Rangers,
Erebeth will draw
find your stealth positions.
There.
And Elden his.
Krell will get into position behind a building. Probably just one of the closer ones.
Yeah.
I'd say Lan and would do the same.
If our metal's ready.
As ready as we can.
Look at the rest! And she'll run out with you guys.
George!
Okay. Everybody, roll for initiative.
Ooh, 19.
Ooh.
I got a 14 for Erebeth.
I got a 19 on my dice, plus 1 for 20.
Very nice.
14 plus 4.
And I rolled a 10 for myself and a 6 for Smell. So, not great.
You know, you're at the back of the charge. You're at the back of the charge.
Yeah. I'm at the front of the charge, but I'll be at the back of the charge.
Well, this is a very full-looking initiative tracker. There are 10 of you. So let's get started. Looks like the mongrel men, they were, you know, ready to ambush in these abandoned buildings. I will be going first.
Which is going to be fun, so I'm controlling Krell.
Yes, he's the more canine-looking... Mongrel man, the one
who's
you saved.
A ranger. and is behind. Is this a short wall on the map?
Yeah, it's
sorry.
A short wall.
So he could see over it. Let's have a look what the actual distance on a masterwork lotto is. I think it's
120 feet.
Is it? Oh, that's fine then.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
So he is going to take a shot at the one that he can see.
He edges around the wall to get a clear shot.
So he's prepared an arrow. He's lining up. He is a level one ranger. He does have experience with this. Aims quickly. Lets go. And hopes that the arrow flies true. However, my physical dice today have been rolling very badly, so... Oh, okay. So that's a 15 plus 8, so that'll be a 23.
So you're hitting the leftmost corpulent nude man with a scythe. He has got sort of auburn hair, and he looks younger than the one to the right as you let... throw your arrow and it pierces into its flesh. Its grin does not stop at all. It doesn't even flinch as the arrow pierces its flesh.
Oh, that's horrifying. That's not right. So that is, I think it's just a straight D8. Let me double check. It is. So that is a 6. So 6 damage.
6 damage. Okay, and the next mongrel man lying in wait is Dira.
Okay, Dira will follow Krell's mark and fire at the same target. Draws an arrow, locks, and fires! Oh dear. That is a 14, unless they're human, because they have favored enemy humans.
They do look human. They are not humans.
Of course. Dear. Well.
As she lets her arrow loose, and it goes flying and strikes the front wall of the Grey Garrison.
Alright. Well, you know. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Elden Aegis, as you make the charge, running closer and closer to the Grey Garrison. Your turn.
Well. Given that I am now charging full speed at these enemies, am I able to make the knowledge and ability check that Brittany was not able to earlier?
Yeah, sure. Which one do you want to make first? The one on the left, the younger looking man with auburn hair, or the man on the right who looks somewhat older, with a black beard with wisps of white and salt and pepper hair?
I'm going to go with the one I'm going to be charging, the one on the left.
You can make it for both, but I'd ignore the order.
Okay. On the left, that is a 16 plus 8 for a 24.
A 24, okay. You run up this nude, corpulent man, and the facial features takes you a few seconds, which you recognized. Like, the man... you realize this is was nowhere near this corpulent in life. But you recognize this as Kandro Nisirian, the noble and lord of Nisirian Manor.
Uh-oh.
That was the guy that was trying to buy Aerith's sword. Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay, great, fantastic. That's not good.
And he his head turns, and the strange elongated grimace just staring at you.
Oh, this is awful. This is awful in every way.
And I suppose I should roll for the other one as well. Hubba! Not as good. That's a 14 plus 8 for a 22.
14. Well, the check was a lot lower because this is a man that you know very well. In fact, all of you must have known him in some capacity. You were here to hear his speech a few days ago. It is... a corpulent and bloated form of Lord Herlun, the Inquisitor Lord and leader of Kennebras.
Oh no.
Armed with the knowledge that these are people that Elden recognizes, There's not much hesitation in that they are clearly not who they appear to be. At least not anymore. And Eldon is just going to charge in. He's going to sprint at the one on the left, the one that Deera and Krell have fired shots at.
So you swing, you go charging at this visage of Kandra the Syrian, radiance in hand.
And with a high overhead swing, it's like,
I'm sorry I have to do this, Kandro. It's for the best.
Fabar. That is a 10 on the dice, plus 8 for the attack, for an 18.
An 18? Will hit.
Oh, nice.
As radiance finds purchase in the flabby flesh, as you carve through it, and it doesn't feel like you're cutting at taut muscles, it feels like you're cutting at, like, limp, decayed flesh as you slice through.
This is bad.
But that is 5 plus 3 for 8 points of damage.
Okay. Next up is Scrutiny.
Elder, I'm so sorry. This looks like it's going to be a tough time for you, but kill him with fire! As a bolt of fire just launches from his dagger. He casts Scorching Ray!
Woo. So you fight this at Kandro or Lord Halun? A man you have some enmity with.
I'm gonna need a reminder on that.
He was one of the people who made the decision for you to be exiled from your family.
He's also a face you'd probably recognize instantly.
To be fair, with Lord Halun, pretty reasonable. Like, he was behind a lot of the witch burnings of the Third Crusade.
Right. Okay, well, at this point, I think fear is the prime motivator. Revenge can wait. let me get all my d6s ready, as I need a grand total of 4.
I mean,
not brilliant.
Or anything, Joe. Hmm? You need to roll an attack roll.
I need to roll an attack roll? What is this?
It's a ranged attack spell.
A spell requiring an attack roll.
No, you should just hit instantly.
That's how most spells work. Right. Okay. So it's, what is it for? Touch attacks.
It's just your ranged.
Ranged touch.
And it's against their touch AC.
Against their touch AC. Yeah.
Okay. Range, it's plus 4. Oh, 20 on the die. Plus 4, 24.
Well, that's a natural 20. That frightens the critical.
Oh, 7.
Is that including the bonus?
Yeah.
Aw.
The touch AC is fairly low. Unfortunately, it is not a low as 7. So that's just a regular hit. Please roll your 46. Fire damage.
Okay, that's 10, 13.
13?
13.
So an inferno bursts from the tip of your dagger, puncturing the flabby hide of a Kandro Nestorian, burning a large hole in it. His flesh seems to be burning, and Eldon, the smell of, like, decayed meat roasting fills your nostrils. It is rather nauseating.
Ugh. Gross.
And you're up.
Right. Let's see. Can you go up there? There's two naked men with scythes. I think I'm going to stick with my tried and true method of performing one of Hans's very rarely used skills, and that's performing piercings at range of a crossbow.
Fantastic.
Yes. Let's go. He's going to aim at the man's shin.
That's a fair question. Can you do dirty trick with ranged weapons, or is it only with melee?
I will double check, but I believe it is only melee.
Yeah, I believe
melee.
It's melee.
Yeah.
Shame.
I think there's a feat that allows you to extend it to ranged weapons. However, with my crossbow bolt, it flies wayward because I'm assuming an 8 misses.
An 8 will miss.
But that's what I can bring to this whole situation as I start loading up the crossbow bolt again. You were doing okay up there, Aldon?
I'm fine so far.
Oh, okay.
Next up is Erebeth. She raises her shield, a longsword in hand, and she charges at the corpulent form of Lord Hoylan.
I am incredibly concerned that they haven't acted yet, and I don't know how strong they are.
Hoylan, you did your best at protecting the city. Look how foul whatever it is you are now has fallen. I shall lay you low. May you rest in peace. She's going to swing her longsword. Creature. Ooh, that is a 17 on the dice.
Ooh.
Plus 11.
Spicy.
28. Which will most definitely hit.
Man, her numbers are way better than mine.
Then I'll roll the damage. That is not too high on the damage, but 6 points of damage as she slices into the thing. And right, there's something else I forgot to mention, but they do have a damage reduction, so the damage is reduced somewhat, and that would have applied for Eldon and the two archers as well.
Damn, even with my cold iron?
Yes. Also, I'm afraid, scrutiny, they have resistance as well, so they would have taken less fire damage.
These things, they're powerful. They're resistant to my blows.
It is Lan's turn.
Then Lan is going to peek out from his hidden position and loose an arrow, draw up, take his aim, and fire. Oh, 16 on the dice. Plus 8 for a 24 to hit.
24 will hit.
Fantastic.
I assume he's shooting the same one that you're fighting.
It's the one that he's got, the only one he's got sights on at this point. Well, that's 8 points of piercing damage from his masterwork longbow.
8 points of piercing damage. It is weakened by the damage reduction, but that still gets some damage through. Okay, Istra, you're up.
I love that everyone has these one lines charging in. Nice stuff to say. Istra runs in a straight line, her full 20 movement. And
straight up to the corpulent form of Lord Hoylan.
Mm-hmm. And as she is just yelling, she's bringing the axe down, attempting to, as she has done in the past with other weapons, try to cleave this man. Not with the skill, obviously, but just cleave like an arm off this man. Perhaps even disarm him. Thank you. Ooh, that's bad. So that's a 7 plus 8. That's a 15 to hit.
A 15?
Yep.
Will hit.
Yay! I genuinely didn't expect that.
They've got no AC because they're not wearing armor, but they have huge resistance.
Yeah.
Big, meaty resistance.
That is a 4 plus 3, so that's 7 damage.
7 damage. As you swing your nice new old Masterwork Cold Iron Battle Axe, it slices through its flabby hide. Much like Eldon's sword did, bypassing the damage reduction, so he takes the full 7 points of damage.
Ooh, slicey dicey.
So you know, Cold Iron gets over the damage reduction.
Hell yeah.
I know my weapon does. I don't know Cold Iron does. I would not extrapolate that.
Right. Next up is the corpulent form of Kandro Nisirion. His grimace staring at Eldon, his brow somewhat furrowed, but it is such a disturbing face.
Oh, this is all very gross.
And he's going to make a concentration check to cast a spell-like ability.
Oh, fantastic. Does that mean I get to attack him?
If he fails, concentration. Right? Oh, no, because he's not casting... Oh, no, that is casting defensively,
casting
isn't it?
Defensively. Well, I got a natural 20.
Oh, dear.
For 24, which is a success.
I don't like that these creatures are smart enough to cast defensively.
Starts making arcane gestures with his open hand, and then after finishing casting the spell, negative energy suffuses itself, Elden, and Irabeth.
That's not good.
Well, it was nice knowing you all.
Unfortunately, they're not the smartest because they picked the two paladins. Irabeth got a 15.
What are you?
You didn't say save, Stephen.
Oh, sorry. I said I must have cut out. Will saving throw.
Will save. Gotcha. That is a 15 plus my will, which is 7. That is a 22.
Unfortunately, Irabeth got a 15, which is 1 under the DC.
Oh,
so,
no.
Old wounds on Elden and Erebeth's body rip open. So, Irabeth's going to take 10 points of negative energy damage.
Oh.
Elden's going to take 5.
Oh.
And the sort of the pallid flesh of Kandro starts to heal over as the negative energy seems to reform the torn and ripped flesh. Next up is the corpulent form of Lord Herlun. Menacing grim on this stern Inquisitor's face. He'll swing his scythe down at Irabeth. Oh dear. That is a 22 to hit. Dealing a grand total of 8 points of damage to her. She sort of buckles from the blow, her shield catching some of it, but yeah, she's taken a fair bit of damage. She's taken 10 from the spell and then 8 from this.
Ooh.
Oh dear.
Time for the MVP. Smiles up.
Smell is going to follow Istra's movements and where he can run in and attempt to... I think he's going to attempt to gore this creature with one of its tusks.
He trumpets a war blast and charges at Lord Herlun.
What? That's a natural 20.
Yo!
Like I said,
MVP. Let me confirm. That's not going to confirm. That's only a 7. But it does hit.
What's with our crits trying to confirm and getting 7s?
Today is not the day for this.
7's not so lucky today.
That's a d8. Oh, low damage, so that's a 1, 2, so that's 3 damage.
I'm afraid due to his damage reduction, that's going to be no damage.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
As it just sort of, the flabby flesh of Lord Herlun just absorbs the blow.
The horn kind of pokes in a bit, like you're trying to poke a finger onto, like, somebody's stomach, and then just comes back out and there's no damage. And he just kind of tilts his head and inquisitively, like, that usually works.
And last but not least, it's the reformed Mongrelman traitor, Delrag.
Come on, Delrag. Time for big redemption arc for Delrag.
I thought you really meant time for big.
Time for big.
Daniel?
This week played by Daniel.
My apologies, I completely blanked that. Yes.
No, that's fine, we do it all the time.
So yes, Delrag is gonna somehow with his crab claw and one hand pull out his trusty longbow.
Specially adapted bows for claw-handed men.
Yeah.
And he's going to fire, hopefully, at the... Which one is of the two corpulent men is on the right-hand side?
That would be Lord Herlun. I'm afraid now, because people have moved into combat, it will be firing at a -4 unless he has the precise... odd feet.
He does not have precise feet.
So that will be at -4.
That would be at -4. So he's going to lean out and go, I don't know who you are, Lord, but I don't agree with your politics. and that'll be -4. That's a 19.
A 19 will hit.
Oh, sweet.
I think he got the point.
Yeah.
I think he got the point.
That's 6 points of piercing damage.
Oh, Lord Halan will take 1 point of piercing damage.
Ow.
As the arrow just sticks, standing out like in the pallid, flabby hide of Lord Halan. Still grimacing. Its expression has not changed whatsoever.
I would offer to try and figure out what these are, but I would assume that's planes, and I don't have that.
It's hard to tell right now. Top of the round. Route 2. Krell. Oh, all his attacks will be at -4 now, much like Delrag's.
Mm-hmm. Noticing that, you know, there's a lot of combat movements going on during the combat. It's hard to get a clear shot. He's going to move in a bit closer because he knows that the closer he is, the easier it's going to be. Especially with his skill set. Point blank shot. For the audience, within... Old. Yeah. No, go
you,
for
you
it.
Say, no, you say it.
For the audience,
my
within...
My normal man has point blank shots as well.
Everyone has point blank shot.
They all have the same stat block.
As a ranger, it's very useful to have. Point blank shot gives you a +1 on bonus to attack and damage rolls with ranged weapons at ranges of up to 30 feet. So he's getting closer so that he can get slightly better aim. So I've moved him within 30 feet and we are going to try and roll attack. Not great, but he might hit. So a 7 plus an 8, so that's a 15 total.
Thank you, -4.
That is not, sorry, -4, 11 total.
Right, 11 will miss as the arrow goes flying straight into the Grey Garret, breaking upon impact on the massive stone building.
I didn't say it was a perfect plan, but it's a plan.
Next up is Deera.
Oh, actually, hang on. Is it a move action to knock a new arrow?
No.
No. Awesome. Just wanted to check. Sorry about that.
That's why... That's only for crossbows, for some reason.
Okay. Bizarre.
Bows are OP.
No, I know. I know they are. It's great. It's like... Bows, you can fire
they,
three
they
shots.
They had to balance
them
in IRL as well as in the game.
Yeah, true. Okay, no. We're not going on my random George Washington facts.
Right, Hira is going to scooch along to just along the wall to land a point-blank shot because he also has point-blanks.
Right, she scoots up. She's like right against the wall. She can get a good aim round Istra, but still at -4. She's shooting into melee combat.
And squeezing the gap, launches an arrow and rolls a 13.
A 13 will miss. The arrow just embeds in the thing.
I tried so hard. Got so far.
Did you get so far?
Did he? Yeah. Right, okay. That's the turn.
Eldon, you're up.
Alright. I mean, my best course of action is to keep launching shots at Mr. Nasirian in the hopes that I can fell him and move on to the other one. So, let's go for a... Let's go for something to the side. Try and cut him across center mass.
That's where he's widest.
Is a... amazing. 13 on the dice, +8 for a 21.
21 will hit.
Oi, 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 oi. Time for the damage dice. That is a 6 on the dice, +3 for 9 points of damage. With
9 points of damage, and as Radiant, we all know as a masterwork cold iron weapon, you slice through his hide. 9 points of damage. Though Kandro is starting to look rather wounded now, much more than Lord Halan.
Good.
scrutiny. You know, playing with fire didn't work too well for you, but let's see how everything else can go.
It sounds like I need to get stabbing.
Could do that, but that does put you in a precarious position, or I'd like to remind you of the completely irresistible weapon that you have in the form of a wand of magic missile.
Is that... Oh, yeah, it is!
You will have to roll spell resistance.
Yeah, no.
I thought magic missile didn't have spell resistance.
No, it does, but weirdly, the wand has a higher cast level than you currently, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, we will give that one a go. So, if I remember from Quizmas, it's a swish and flick as I launch that. So it's cast to level 5, isn't it?
So that will be 3 missiles per charge.
Yeah.
Would you like to divide them between the two gentlemen, or would you like to just...
No, they're all going to Elden's targets.
Oh, Kandro. All right.
Kandro, yeah.
You roll a spell resistance check using the wand's cast level to bypass it. Spell resistance.
Plus 5. Oh, 20 plus 5!
25. That gets past the spell resistance. Can you roll me 3d4 plus 3?
That's 1, 2, so 3, and 4 plus 3, 7.
Seven, as the missiles are forced to slam into it, and you can see the ripple of the flabby body taking from the impact.
Right, well, you know, I suppose I'm helping. Didn't feel great, though.
Hans, you're up.
Right, okay, yes, quiet. We have... Let's try this one more time, but I'm going to take a moment to step away from where I'm currently stood. And, see. Move to the corner here, so it's just a straight line shot as I meander my way across to this particular bloated gentleman on the left-hand side.
Up to Kandro.
Putting my spectacles on so I can actually see where I'm aiming this time. And I fire my crossbow.
Are you using a regular bolt or a cold iron bolt?
Regular bolt until I can actually hit the damn person. a 15?
15 will hit.
Ah, that's right, kids. Always wear your prescribed spectacles.
Don't you mean proscribed spectacles?
That's a weird in-joke to make, Joe.
For piercing.
I liked it, though, Joe.
Sorry, can you repeat that, Daniel? I think you cut out.
You can have some mint.
Oh, I said...
Yay! Some secret palate-killing mint.
Fuck. Gosh, damn it. Can you say that again?
I did 8 piercing.
8 piercing? Wow, that's some really good points of 3 piercing damage you did.
Excellent.
As it pierces its hide, and it's starting to buckle, its flesh is just... falling off in clumps.
I'd recommend switching to the cold iron. You've got enough of them.
Nah, that's fair. That's fair. I probably should.
It is Erebeth's turn. Lord Harlan, may Armade strike you down so you may join her. And she is going to, as a swift action, smite evil on whatever this thing that is now Lord Harlan is.
Dang, she's going hard.
She doesn't have a cold-iron weapon like you guys.
No, that's fair.
If we're carrying a lot of cold-iron weapons, we could probably give him one.
Nah.
Are we?
She's got it handled.
Do we have any cold-iron weapons? I thought we sold them all.
With Iomide's might, she swings her longsword. That is a 14 plus 11 for a 25.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, sorry, never mind. It's higher because she smite evil. Do that.
Yeah. I think she's about to completely eviscerate it.
That's a 14 plus a 13 for a 27. And she brings her longsword down with the power of Iomide, imbuing its blade. That will deal 6 plus 9. 15 points of damage to Lord Harlan.
Ooh. Ooh.
And as a side effect of Smite Evil, it bypasses all damage reduction.
Yeah, Smite Evil's really good. I'm just holding on to mine because I don't know what we're facing behind those doors.
Lan.
Lan is going to... He's already within 30 feet, so I should have been applying a point-blank shot, but I think it is the smart and wise tactical decision to take just keep taking pot shots until these things go down. So, a strike from Lan. I'll be taking a minus 4 for firing into melee, plus 1 for point-blank shot. Let's see how this goes. Well, that's a 15, minus 3 is 12, plus 8 is 20.
20 will hit.
Sweet! And a d8 plus 1. Ooh, it's something. That's 7. 7 plus 1 is 8.
That'll be 2 points of damage as its arrow slams into Kandro's form. The flesh is just pooling off it now. It's still got the same grimace. It's taken so much damage.
One more point, actually. The point blank shot takes it up to 8, so 3.
Istra.
So, Istra and Smal have been attacking Hurla, and their years travelling together have kicked in, and they work together like a well-oiled team as Smal attempts to distract from the front while Istra tries to sneak round the back so that they will be flanking. So he will obviously get an attack of opportunity on Istra.
He will. Lord Halun will swing his scythe at you. I rolled the wrong die. That would be a 12. Well, I believe that will miss you.
That will miss Istra. It'll miss Istra.
Oh no, she's not dead again.
She will attempt to continue... Well, attempt to hit this man with her battle axe. That was a very bad description. So I just rolled a 20. This new dice is a... It's not going to crit. It's, yeah, it's going to be a 1.
Seven.
So I rolled a 7.
Yeah. Oh my god. Alright.
Alright. I know no one will believe that. I'm not making this up.
Here comes the 7
that
lads.
Is actually, though. So... Because it's the battle axe, that is still a plus 8, so that'll be, god sorry, the 15 plus 2, plus 17.
17!
Brace for coming 7.
And I'm using the battle axe, which has a 3 times critical.
Well, before anything, we'll draw you a critical hit card. A quick ruling that we have for critical hit cards, so if it says double damage, it will be times 3 damage, and regular damage will be times 2 damage.
Okay.
So, hack and slash, double damage, and all critical threats against the target automatically confirm for the next 3 rounds. So that'll be triple damage for the attacks.
Oh, this guy. Right. So I rolled a 7 plus 3, so that's 10. So that would be... Is it double 30. The... With,
yes.
That will be 30. Oh god, sorry, triple.
30. He's 30 gone.
Slashing
he was here, and
fly
now he's gone.
DR. You hack so far, like you just slash through the flesh and the fat and the blubber, and you just cut him down. And his body folds in on itself like he had no skeleton. Like, it just collapses in on itself like a pile of flesh.
Istra, this is one of the most impressive things she's ever done. I think her and Small kind of share a little look of just, like, bewilderment and a bit excitement before they go, oh god, yeah, we've got another person to deal with.
Lord Harlan's down, but Kandro is still standing. His body starts to undulate. Rolls of fat, wobbling. as his chest starts trembling. And then the maw of a large worm rips out of his chest, consuming the head and upper torso. The rest of the flesh falls to the floor, the scythe hitting the ground with a clang. And where the bloated form of Kandra Nisirian stands, now is this disgusting, large, silvery, slick with gore, reddish-purple worm hisses at you, Elden.
I thought we were done with bugs!
And we'll end the session there.
Oh no! A worm!
Well, it looks like we're getting closer to the endgame now. They've started their first major battle on their way to claiming the Grey Garrison. What will come in store in the future as they start delving into the depths of this dungeon to stop the end of the world? If you'd like to know more about the podcast, check out dragonsnotincluded.com. And I'd like to thank Sirenscape once again for providing amazing sounds and music for our podcast, as well as Social Introvert, who made our amazing theme song. Check us out on our social medias below, and I'll see you next week. Stay safe, and have a good day.